Ladies and gentlemen, happy mother freaking Wednesday. It's time for a little bit of group chat. Who's ready?
I am.
Okay. First and foremost, we have some very exciting news. Number one, we have a Young and Reckless live event this Saturday. So get your tickets quick if you want to come. We'll be doing a live group chat pod there. Also, Dee is doing a panel with Risa from Revolve and Michael Mente from Revolve.
Wow.
So that'll be huge. Then on October 15th.
I think I'm there too, October 12th.
Listen, I said a live group chat, asshole. And frickin' Anand Murthy will be there. He said he's gonna be signing autographs from 1 to 2.
Be intimidated.
And do not be intimidated. On October 15th, we have a live event at Peppermint Club. That is just a live group chat followed up by a little Q&A. That one is completely free. All you gotta do is go to live@group-chat.com, RSVP. If you don't RSVP, we won't be on the list. Make sure you RSVP. We'll see you there. Hit us up on Instagram. We're going to go live tomorrow at Group Chat Pod. Sign up for that newsletter, group-chat.com. Let's get into it.
Big, big episode. We find out something big about Taylor. Stay tuned.
We find out something big about Taylor. We compare something very important about Taylor and Pete. This is a good episode. If you are a millennial, a Gen Zer, you really need to pay attention. If you maybe have siblings or are the parents of millennials or Gen Zers or anyone about to enter the workforce, we have a really good conversation and debate on this episode. We pull in a couple of our local millennials and Gen Zers for their take.
And hopefully someone's listening because this is Yom Kippur.
And it is Yom Kippur. So if anyone's out there, just like and subscribe or whatever. Leave us positive feedback on the iTunes store. We'll see you. Let's get into it.
Cash. Ladies and gentlemen, group chat. Cash.
Go, Woody, go.
All right, it's go time. Is anyone out there?
Hello. Is anyone listening today?
Hello.
This is the bat signal to all my Jewish people.
Turns out we have a big Jewish listener base.
Yes.
We checked our numbers from, it was last Monday?
Last Monday to Friday.
And there was this weird dip.
And we hadn't seen dip in months.
Months. And we're maybe like, the whole year. That was a hot week. Was it Sterling?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah. We questioned our own competency.
We really did. And we thought about it for a while. We realized it was because it was a Jewish holiday. And,
yeah.
And it's obviously disrupting everyone's gym and work and driving to work schedules.
Yep.
Anytime there's a holiday, we see a super big dip.
Yep.
But man, we have that big of a Jewish audience, or people that work at,
yes,
like agencies and stuff like that where they have time off.
I mean, there's a lot of powerful Jewish people that are in all industries.
Hello!
So today
so basically,
is...
if you have an errand to run that's far away, get on the freeway. Go far. So no one's going to be on the road.
Yeah, just like, aren't you guys supposed to just be chilling today anyway?
You're toning. You're doing prayers
all day. Yeah,
but
you don't have any energy. You have no nourishment. So listen to a
Taylor,
pod.
You're going
to
be a toning all day, right?
Taylor,
what are you doing,
Taylor?
Taylor's
a toning all day.
Netflix and chilling all day.
Netflix and a toning.
I feel like saving electricity energy should be banned too. So just food?
I'm sure in the olden days there was
But we don't want that.
Yeah.
Right.
So for those that don't know, today is Yom Kippur, which is a day of atonement for the Jewish people, and you probably take the day off work. The biggest thing is you are fasting from sundown Tuesday evening, which is yesterday, to sundown Wednesday morning.
That seems rough.
And no water, no coffee, no...
You can't brush your teeth. You can't do anything.
That is rough. You know what you can do? Listen to a damn podcast.
So what's going to happen at Dodger Stadium? We have a game-clinching playoff game.
And guess who likes
fans of the Dodgers?
The biggest fans of Dodgers are Jewish people.
As long as the players are well-nourished.
No, but are they
going to
attend?
Hydrated, who
concessions
cares?
Lines me empty.
Yeah.
It's 5:30 start.
I might go to the game just to have a concession.
Although,
grab a beer, some food.
Does it start at sundown or no?
It starts at 5:30. I think they got to wait an hour.
They're going to be just
crawling. Man, that dugout club is going to be empty.
If there are lines, if anyone goes to the Dodger game tomorrow, I'm not. I don't know if you are.
No.
But if there is a line at the dugout club, in the buffet, or the bar.
I want pictures.
I want pictures because that means they should be listening to our goddamn podcast if they're eating and drinking.
Well, I guess sundown by 6:30.
What would you say? Dugout club's 40% Jewish?
More. Those teats are expensive.
Might be 75. It might be 75. 75.
So that 6:30 p.m. buffet is going to be slammed alcohol.
Get your food before 6:30.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, listen, if you're listening to this right now, tell a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just check in on if you have any Jewish buddies.
Send this podcast to your closest Jewish friend.
Yeah, hit them up and just say, hey, reminder, you know, let's focus on what's important during this Day of Atonement.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Support those that have atoned.
Yeah, we're atoned.
Yeah.
We're good. Okay. You guys ready to get in some news?
Yes.
I have one big question. What's going on with all of this NBA, China hoopla? So the Rockets owner posted support of Hong Kong. NBA said, whoa. We make way too much money in China for that. They publicly posted in support of China, which is insane. And then we caught it right at the end. I think Anand breaking newsed us in the middle of the episode. And since then, it's just went wild. So what's the update?
First of all, I want to make it clear to my Chinese people, I stand with you guys.
Oh, gosh, you're a dictator.
I want to be really big in China. And I don't really care that much about the NBA.
I'm with Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's been wiped off the earth.
We you're a dictator.
Stand with China.
You are a dictator. Okay, listen, yeah. Hong Kong or anyone that believes in what they believe in, your guy over here on the solo chair is the one for you.
So we talked about it very briefly because it was happening live. While we're recording on Sunday night for Monday's episode. And it's turned into a massive geopolitical event based off a tweet of the general manager of the Houston Rockets. And the NBA, there's so many nuances here, right? So the NBA is actually in China right now. So the Lakers, LeBron and the Lakers, are playing the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday or Friday. And ESPN flew out to do coverage.
Wait, they're playing them in China?
Yeah, because yeah, part of the preseason.
This was all planned.
How awkward is that flight in?
No, so it gets even crazier. So since the NBA put out their first statement, one in English, one in Mandarin. Okay. The one in Mandarin was much harsher than the one in English. Yeah. The one in English was just like, oh, yeah, we're sorry. And the one in Mandarin was like, fuck the Houston Rockets, basically.
Yeah.
And since then, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, had to do a press conference in Tokyo because the NBA is in Tokyo. They're doing the whole Asia tour. The commissioner came out Tuesday morning saying the NBA stands behind their employees and personnel and players, that they can say whatever they want. We're not going to come down on them. And we understand there could be differences in political beliefs, but we're not going to limit the freedom of speech in the NBA.
Yeah. And guess what Chinese people said?
And guess, guess what China did?
Yeah.
Since that press conference, they have now banned the airing of the game of the Lakers and Nets. Well, no, specifically this LeBron showcase in China is now banned in China. So these guys are playing to an audience of zero.
And people can't even go?
No, I think you can go. It's not being aired on CCTV.
But why would they let
CCTV.
People go?
Why
don't they just play alone?
It's fluid right now because by the time this episode airs, the NBA might just cancel the games because it's not being aired in China. And here's the biggest story in all of this is the NBA has been the woke movement.
Yeah.
Coaches.
Yeah.
General managers. And they've been so outspoken against everything Trump, reporters, about everything NFL, Kaepernick. Like, we would never let that happen in this league.
Yeah.
This is the biggest jam up because everyone's been quiet.
So here's the first problem. Daryl Morey fucked it up for everyone. He's an asshole.
Who's that?
The general manager of the Rockets.
Just keep your mouth shut.
He absolutely fucked it up.
He screwed up. Everyone was making money, getting fat, and
it was just a matter of time.
Chinese. Why do you care?
It was just a matter of time.
Shut up.
Yeah. Daryl Morey's just like, yeah, you can blame it on him. It's gonna.
I will.
I'm 100%. If I'm the Houston Rockets, I'm calling this punk in. I'm like, you know what? You keep your political shit to yourself. Shut up and manage.
Shut up and James Harden.
Yes.
Like, win a title. What a title! Yeah,
that's so stupid. Because then you know you're going to jam up. You're going to.
Well, they jammed
the NBA
up,
has to say something.
It's so nuanced. But here's I think the bigger point from me is that if you're gonna go woke, you gotta stay, like, this is the worst part of woke. Like, everyone who was woke this whole time, the NBA moved the All-Star game from North Carolina because of a transgender, like, bathroom situation.
Yeah.
And they still sent these guys to China.
It's gonna be messy, because they're gonna interview all of these coaches.
Yeah.
That's all they're gonna be asking for so long. What are these guys gonna do? Go back to sleep?
You know who should be shitting their pants is Nike.
Oh, yeah.
Nike, this is so, like, Nike's future is in China, not in America. America, they got everybody. Everyone who's buying their shoes, we're going to continue buying, and that's it. China is their next great frontier. They've obviously have this massive business there that's double-digit growth.
And the NBA's next great frontier.
Yeah, it's just even bigger I think the impact will be even greater for Nike. Because, like, so I bet you they were showcasing some Shanghai exclusive shoe for LeBron that you can't get. You don't know that it's...
Dude, there's images right now that... Like any NBA, like basketball gym with the Rockets, they're like painting over it. The Rockets don't exist in China.
I like that.
As of this past week.
It's pretty
dope. They don't exist.
Do the people, the regular people of China are like on some fuck Hong Kong shit? Or no. They're just forced to be?
They're forced to be.
Twitter's banned in
China. So they don't know anything's going on in Hong Kong.
They have no idea what's going on.
Got it.
They're like, you guys should go visit America.
So they just do what they're told. It's like, fuck the Rockets. So they say, fuck the Rockets.
This is a problem with being woke, and which is why none of us are woke.
Yeah.
Because the world is so complicated.
I'm dead asleep.
The like world is so complicated. It's so nuanced, right? Like, sure, there's plenty of bad stuff going around the world, but there's also a billion people who love the NBA in China that have no say on what goes on politically in China.
Yeah. And now they can't watch
the King. They can't watch, like, for entertainment.
Being woke gets jammed up real quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You run into like a this or that.
You gotta be woke in private.
When you get woke on very particular, I don't know. Just don't be woke.
Because here's the issue. I get, like, is the NBA the one that should solve, like, freedom of speech in China? Probably not. But as a result now, a billion Chinese people don't get to watch Steph Curry and LeBron James and... Yeah. All these people and then jobs in China.
I would be so pissed I was Chinese and I was planning this big night. The whole family's getting together to watch the King and stuff. And there's some clown in Houston ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think they tell their people why they're doing this? Like, why is China turning off the game tonight? What do they tell them?
They'll be like, what game?
Great. Well, so it's just full of mind.
Well, the owner of the Nets who...
What sport is that?
Never heard of it.
Well, the owner of the Nets wrote, he's the majority owner now, Joseph Tsai, founder of Alibaba, I think he's current CEO, wrote a whole essay on Facebook saying that the Hong Kong protests represent a separatist movement from China. Hong Kong is part of China, and we don't stand with that. And wrote this whole essay about history. So that's probably the only information they're getting fed. They're like, look, the NBA agrees with us, right? Yeah. You have an NBA owner who's actually the founder of Alibaba.
Which is God in China.
Yeah. And he can't go against the government. He'll be in jail.
No, yeah. And he's just, I just bought the Nets. I'm going to enjoy it.
Got it.
This is when, like, Steve Kerr, the most woke NBA guy, was asked yesterday about, what do you think about China? He got so jammed up. This guy talks about anti-guns, anti-everything, anti-Trump.
He ain't saying a word about China.
He didn't say a goddamn word about China.
What did he say when they asked
him? He just said, I just need to learn more. Like, what do you need to learn more? You're either woke or you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not woke when the checks started getting messed up.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed in the way he handled it because I...
What do you want him to go to jail? Not be allowed in the country?
He's in San Francisco. He doesn't have to go to China. He could, if the Warriors get sent to an exhibition game, he doesn't have to go.
What if they jail Steph Curry because of Steve Kerr? They can do that. China has no rules. You know what, Steph? You're going to jail because your dumbass coach opened his mouth.
Yeah.
And now that you just ruined the NBA, Steph Curry's in jail.
Yeah, and the takeaway for me is the world's nuanced and complicated. Be careful if you just start making blanket statements.
I make a lot of blanket statements.
Yeah, we do that on this podcast, actually.
The whole podcast. Yeah,
pretty much what this is. Yeah, pretty much just a blanket statement for 45 minutes every day.
Maybe for the brown white.
Has Trump commented?
No.
He doesn't care.
Okay. He's a football guy.
If Trump wants to take advantage of this, all the NBA teams are the ones saying they're not going to the White House, but they all went to China.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great argument.
You should be a speechwriter or something.
Yeah. You should be a MAGA speechwriter.
Yeah, you get over there.
Look, you want to be woke now? America.
You know what that would do for this podcast? You guys want me to be a MAGA ambassador. Imagine if
a MAGA Indian would even be better.
Imagine if he was, what's that guy's name from Pod Save?
Favreau.
John Favreau or whatever. Imagine MAGA. If he were the Favreau of MAGA.
No, I would never.
Like an Indian Ben Shapiro.
My point is when it comes to like consumers that have no say in the matter, it's kind of like frustrating.
I get it. You and your MAGA people are frustrated. What about, this is trickling over into esports somehow. Did you see this article?
Yeah.
Blizzard has banned an esports player who voiced support of Hong Kong.
Similar thing. Blizzard's a huge video game manufacturer.
But was this guy like on his Twitch or something? He's like, yeah.
No, he was actually protesting.
Like
in Hong Kong. He's based in Hong Kong. There's a big gamer in Hong Kong. He posted a picture of protesting. They banned him from the esports competition, withheld $10,000 of money.
Like League of Legends, if you're a League of Legends star, you should definitely shut your mouth because that is a Chinese company.
You should take the China flag and post your loyalty.
Yeah. I stand with China and wear red all the time.
God, what a jam up. They are gnarly.
How bummed is the king just stuck in China? Man.
We have it so good over here.
It's amazing.
Literally run down the street and say, fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And like they're like, yeah.
And there you can't even post on Twitter protesting.
No, they have all these bots on Weibo supporting the ban of the NBA in China. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, man, proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free.
Yeah, and when I go to China, I don't like the NBA. They ask me immigration. Do you watch sports? No, I hate sports.
I actually hate sports.
I've never watched anything.
Yep.
And do you know who Yao Ming is? Yes, he's a great leader.
Yao Ming's great.
What if they ask you right now, have you ever supported LeBron James?
Who?
LeBron's in China right now.
LeBron, he's known as the king.
I thought king is Xi Jinping.
Welcome to China.
And then, hold on, there's one other thing I want to bring up that I just learned today, I didn't even know. Ben Thompson, he's a big tech blogger. Sends a daily newsletter. And I didn't know TikTok for all users is actually censored by the Chinese government. So if you go on TikTok today, right now, and you search in Mandarin, the Houston Rockets do not exist.
I love that.
Man.
That shit's amazing.
Dictator land is something different.
I mean, TikTok, you're sitting there on TikTok trying to say free speech. That is a Chinese company for those people that don't know.
Yeah, TikTok is owned by ByteDance, one of the biggest private Chinese companies in China.
They're watching all these Americans dance like idiots. Yeah. You dance while we take your privacy, you motherfuckers.
Oh my God. I wonder what happened if you did like a lot of Houston Rockets like support posts.
So one kid posted in a province in China, him in a James Harden jersey. But the kid also had the Chinese flag with the lighter, say, come and get me, and they got him.
Oh, my God.
He's in jail.
I told you, I stand with China.
Jeez.
I'm not messing around.
You know what?
Around.
I've changed my mind. Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry if you're listening. I apologize.
Trump let me disappear right out of this podcast.
God,
I did not say anything anti-China.
I love China. It's a great place, great people. I love Yao Ming.
Same. Yep.
Same for us over here. Just to clarify. Just.
Pete's face turned red.
I just want to be very clear on air where I stand with this.
God, those guys in Hong Kong are fucked.
Yeah, Hong Kong's toast.
Okay, moving on. Let's get into some tech business news.
Yeah.
Good news for Toys R Us. Looks like they have debuted a brand spanking new website.
Yeah.
So you thought it was over? I know we've all been seeing those pictures of the closed down skeletons of old Toys R Us stores where our childhood dreams used to live, but it's back. New website.
And it's actually the worst website I've ever seen and the worst experience on top of it. It is a horrendous website with a bunch of links saying, oh, we have this new blah, blah, blah. I click on it and it says $49. Great. The site itself looks horrendous. It is a redirect to Target's website. So it's literally just like affiliate links. Why not just redirect it all to Target? It is the laziest, pathetic excuse for an e-commerce website in this day and age. If this was 2001, I'd be like, okay, I get it. You guys don't have technology. This is a world-renowned brand. To launch it like this is a joke.
What's the deal? There's no relationship with Target and Toys R Us.
Well, no,
right?
Maybe it's just an affiliate deal. I bet you they're just getting like 15% of all sales, and they're just redirecting all the traffic to Target, and they're just curating the section. Like
Toys R Us says, there's no stores, right?
No.
So it's only the shit website.
The shit website.
So Toys R Us is now like a social media influencer doing affiliate deals.
Yes.
Great.
And doing it poorly.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm on it right now.
It is so bad.
I was so excited.
They should have just given Ryan
everything
and say, hey.
They should give.
Oh, Ryan doesn't need Toys R Us. Ryan should just be the affiliate.
Yeah,
for,
I'm sure he is.
Ryan probably makes more money than that shit website.
Ryan is Toys R Us.
Yeah.
What do you want to say, Taylor?
I'm looking at the Toys R Us website. All their top trending products have zero reviews. And we all know if you're an e-commerce site and you have zero reviews on all your top products, there's no one buying anything on the site.
Exactly.
So the site
at least fake it. At least fake it.
Like, at least put five reviews on your top products to fake it.
Why would you do
courtesy
that?
Of the Taylor Parker Agency.
And if you're looking for that service,
we'll get you 10 reviews on every.
Gosh.
For $300, we'll get you 100 reviews.
What a bummer. I really, when that story came up, I was like, all right, well, we're good. Toys R Us is back. The dream
Clowns.
Is alive. Okay. How about this one, man? I cannot wait to hear what this one is about. Apparently, millennials and Gen Zers are quitting their jobs because they're having mental health issues. So we talked about burnout on Monday's episode. Talked about YouTubers, and we're like, oh, they don't know what it's like to have a real job. They've never had to. It turns out maybe normal people are acting the same way.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone's burnt out, and no one has the, whatever you want to call it, the toughness?
The cojones?
I mean, to work a job. I'm confused. Am I being harsh?
I'm going to be way harsher.
Okay. I always count on that.
Half of millennials between 23 and 38-year-olds that were surveyed have quit a job because of mental health reasons. 75% of Gen Zers have quit a job due to mental health reasons.
75%, and Gen Z is like how
18
they're
24? 22 is how they're defining it.
Yeah.
It's technically 95, I think. I think it's technically 24, but whatever.
So for the purpose of this survey.
Sure, but 22, that's even worse. At 22, you've quit a job because of mental health?
Yes, and then check this out. Baby boomers. Guess what percentage they have quit a job because of mental health?
I mean, 4%.
10%.
Jeez.
This is a scary statistic. So the question then becomes, is it, there's clearly a shift where if you are unhappy, you're supposed to make a change. So then I started looking at suicide rates over the last 10 years.
Those are bad.
So those have increased.
Yep.
So the numbers, the concept of I'm unhappy, I need to make a change are actually not technically, I mean, just based on suicide rates, I'm not saying that's the only metric, but you're leaving this job for whatever reason because you're mentally unstable, but your life isn't actually improving. This statistic baffles me because what is going on in the workplace that...
I'll tell you this, the theory. The theory is all the way down to these kids were raised by parents in the William Shatner, America's Most Wanted days.
Okay.
Those parents were scared to death to let their kids go play and learn and whatever. Those kids are now 20 years old. They have been on their phones and in their rooms playing video games. They haven't been out drinking, having sex, fist fighting, doing all the shit you used to do. And so now when they go out into the real world, they feel like they are owed the same level of safety that their parents gave them.
Wait, that's a real theory?
1,000,000,000%.
That's William Shatner?
No, that because of
Star
America,
Trek?
Because
that's
of...
He's the NRA guy too, right? He's
don't get lost in William fucking Shatner. Because of all these shows of America's Most Wanted and stories of kids getting kidnapped, all of those shows blew up on television when these people were new parents.
So they were scared.
So they overprotected their kids. There's a generation of overprotected kids who never even wanted to go ride their bikes down the street because they were at home. They had games. So those two things converged, and parents didn't want you to go ride your bike and go be crazy, and they didn't want to do it anyway. So now they're going into colleges and going into the workplace, and anything that's a trigger warning or someone yelling at them or whatever, they're not used to that, and they want to be treated with that same... I mean, colleges have safe spaces where you can go color with in coloring books.
Yeah.
And if there's a speaker you don't like, there's like crazy. It's really
Taylor.
Weird.
Go to the mic. I have a question for you.
And just to continue the conversation before Taylor jumps in, so you're telling me it's the convergence of scared parents and social media combined.
Correct.
Right? Because I get the social media aspect. I'd be depressed if I was a teenager and I was on social media.
Yeah. No, it's also the element of it is when they really dig deep into it, the other element that no one really talks about that much is scared parents. And crime rates have actually dropped significantly since whenever that was, let's say 1990. But the parents parented as if everyone was getting kidnapped. And then the kids had iPads and phones and games. And so they don't want to go drink and go do any of that stuff anyway. So now there's this thing where kids at 20 years old, 22 years old have been too coddled and they cannot deal with the realities, the little things.
It's the trophy, every kid gets a trophy syndrome.
Yeah, but they can't deal with teasing. They can't deal with a boss saying, you fucked up, what are you doing?
So D's their worst nightmare.
Oh my God.
So let me ask a question, Taylor. How old are you?
I'm 26, and yes, D is my worst nightmare.
If that was your question, Taylor's actually about to quit the newsletter.
I'm not asking this to Pete or Danny, because Taylor grew up in the heart of LA, which I would say, for the most part, parents are fairly progressive. Are you, in your mind, a pussy?
I can't wait to see where we're going.
I definitely don't think I'm a pussy, but I've been called a pussy a few times before.
Why? Why do you want to know?
No, because my point is like Taylor to me is the prototypical person in this survey that it's 26 years old, right in the meat of it. You know, a job or two in entrepreneur, whatever. But like, I don't expect Pete to be a pussy because of where he grew up. He grew up with six brothers, a very different background.
Saying you expect me to be a pussy?
I was like crying. Taylor's like crying.
Taylor's going to quit after this because of mental health issues.
But when I think of like,
doesn't quit, this survey's wrong.
Because my prototypical person, I was like, who could I kind of confirm is a pussy, and I'd be like, oh, Taylor grew up in LA, went to Beverly Hills High School, like he's been probably coddled by his parents, you know,
but this is what you're not taking into consideration. Number one, LA is a big city. It's a huge city.
I'm talking about people, because like
we're also choosing a guy who's started like five companies.
I know, but like the mindset comes from these overprotective, overbearing parents, the better question, which are more in LA.
I think the better question to Taylor, because he's so much closer to the demographic than we are, tell us about your peers.
Pussies.
Name two.
Name two pussies.
No, but do you actually believe that?
Well, a lot of people, I think, just they want the easy route, and they want to blame other people. They don't want to put in the work with everything, and we're scared of everything. And it's like everyone has mental health issues now because like everyone's on their phone, Instagram 6 hours a day. Like,
what's your mental health status?
I'm good now, like for the first time in a while.
And what was wrong with you? Just curious. I'm not even being joking. What was wrong with you?
Personally, I got way too caught up in the Gary Vee hustle grind mindset of like, you can't have fun. You can't enjoy your 20s. You got to work. You can't have friends. You can't have a girlfriend. You can't do anything fun. And like that really messed me up like mentally because I was like, my 20s, I shouldn't have any fun. I should never enjoy it. And like, I want to grind. I want to hustle. And that just like made me so depressed.
You got to go to Rufus.
Then I went to Rufus and we're all good now.
Rufus, but that's Coachella,
what I'm saying is you're not, it's super bubbly. Like you think about like the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. So
you're talking about a hustler. Like Taylor is a fucking hustler.
All right, let's give the mic to Pete.
Give it to Wisconsin. Give it to Pete.
Pete was in peers in Wisconsin.
Pete's ass was getting beat by his brothers. He's not getting fucking.
I ain't no pussy boy. You're looking at me like maybe you are.
No, I see the way he eats. He doesn't eat like a pussy.
Do your friends back home in Wisconsin talk about mental health?
No.
No, look at your ass, Pete.
You just got to understand like those people aren't moving from Wisconsin to LA alone, like this is a bad sample room. It's the rest of the country where it doesn't even matter income, it doesn't matter any of that, but you've been so coddled that you wouldn't move to LA. That's way too scary. You're quitting your job at your local Starbucks because your boss was mean to you and it's making you depressed and you have mental health issues. Or you're going to color in coloring books at your college because the speaker is scary and says traumatic statements. It's like, it's a totally different world that we're not connected to.
Okay.
But maybe. My point is, I don't think it's fun to sit here and say, oh, they need to grow some balls. They're going to get their asses kicked. I think the bigger concern is, what if that's just how adults are in 10 years? That, to me, you get socialism out of that. If the majority of adults, 75% of them, just are not built to deal with real life, I think you get a weird... You think about voting patterns. Think about shopping patterns. Like, think about... I don't know. What does that turn into?
Yeah. It's interesting. So I obviously have a child that's going, is like in a preschool situation last year and this year. And when the teacher speaks, one of the things that our mommy group that like my wife's gone to that I've attended a bunch of sessions with is they want the children to resolve the conflict on their own.
Yeah.
Which is really, really interesting. So like when we're amongst those kids, if the kids fight, they pull something, push, whatever, we don't get involved. And the moment we get to the park where it's like, oh no, what could happen? Because we don't know how other parents are parenting. We can't assume they believe in the same thing. It's really interesting. Dom will take a truck from some kid. And if it was in our little group of friends, we wouldn't have said anything. They'd resolve it. Maybe the kid grabs it back from him, whatever.
Yeah.
At the park, it's such an interesting dynamic. Like, we have to be like, oh, no, Dominic, you know, this is her truck. You have to give that back to her, whatever. And it's interesting how you parent because we're going through that process right now. And we want him to have obstacles and go through. Like, life isn't easy. There's no point in making everything happen for him. But I'm just, I don't know, I still find this whole thing very surprising.
What part?
The fact that, like, a 23-year-old is leaving their job because there's some stress level. Like, no offense, unless you're like in banking or something crazy like that.
It's not even, you're not even close. You're not even close. I think this is where we're so disconnected from young people. Like, I think that young people in the rest of the country are very different than what we're used to.
Yeah, so I did investment banking right out of college. My first week as an intern, so this 2004, I was 20 years old. And I walk in with whatever shitty dress shirt and shitty dress shoes I have, and I got berated for my dress. They were like, this is unacceptable. You need to go to Brooks Brothers, get dress shirts with collar stays. I didn't even know what any of this meant.
Yeah.
This is the first time I ever like dressed up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like sad. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I need to like get in line.
But I think that the fundamental like culture is changing. And now what you do in that case is you go home. You quit and you say, this is ridiculous. I'm being bullied.
That's so crazy.
I need to go somewhere that looks out for me. You can't treat people that way. I'm being bullied. And your parents would say,
I didn't even tell my parents because I was embarrassed that I was getting yelled at.
Of course. But I think now, I think that a lot of parents are saying, oh, I understand. That's so mean. I'll contact them and see why they're... Like, I think it's...
If I ever did some shit like that...
I know, but that's what everyone says.
So, like...
That's like us.
I give you a hard time at work. It's not an easy ride. But, like, do you ever call your mom and say, D said this to me?
No, it's widely entertaining to me.
She would never admit it.
But, and being honest, like, that's the shit I love. I'd rather have a back and forth. Where there's so many kids I know, and especially in Wisconsin, at the university, when we had... Coasties coming in, easily tell the difference.
What's a coastie?
East and West coast kids from you got your kids from Boston coming in, then you have your LA kids coming in. You can easily tell like they stick out like a sore thumb in a room because you Wisconsin kids are completely different from them, but they just stick out the way that they act. They're just so bougie and this kind of like this kind of mentality where they would quit that day. Where Wisconsin kids just doesn't give a fuck.
It's so cold.
And then when I look back on my own personal experience, I know we're a little off topic, but I had an Indian minority boss that was just on me, and we're really close friends now.
Yeah.
But I feel like he did that because he's like, you're coming into this white world.
Yeah.
You're already playing from behind. You better not let the ancillary stuff already
your ugly ass clothes.
I'm just, my biggest question that I'm curious about is, what does this lead to when these are the adults? You know what I mean?
I think they grow out of it. Taylor seems like he grew out of it. Or maybe he's still a pussy.
I don't think Taylor was
I'm still kind of a pussy.
I don't think Taylor was like a good example.
I think he's a great example.
I think he's a good example too. Because all his peers are the ones that have the luxury to be entrepreneurs and not actually have to work.
But it's the Taylor that quit. Okay, let me give you an example. You said, hey, we need someone to do the newsletter. Taylor does fine financially. He came in, did it. This is all extra work because he likes the pod. He believes in us.
Yeah.
Whatever. Those are the characteristics of someone with perseverance and ambition.
I'm talking about his peers.
Yeah. I'm saying it's all the Taylors that never made it that are still, like, their parents are still paying their cell phone bills right now. Those are the ones that we would really need
to. Yeah, I mean, those are all my friends, and they all quit jobs every 9 months.
Yeah, you used to live at the Palazzo. The Palazzo is... If there's anyone sub 25, there's probably a greater than 70% chance their parents are paying for their rent.
All my friends, their parents still pay their rent and still like subsidize them. Like, you guys are 26, like grow up.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay. All right. Well, okay. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Write us in. Yeah. Send us a DM. Let us know what's going on in your hometown. Okay, next up. Let's talk about Pop Sugar. The content media sort of platform has just been acquired by a company called Group 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like, I don't know. We kind of found out this Vice deal, Refinery 29 deal, was a little bit of a sham.
Yep.
Oh, how about this one? Is this the real deal?
It's a sham.
A sham?
Yeah.
We're all shamming.
So all stock transaction values Pop Sugar at more than $300 million. Group 9 recently raised $50 million. They own Thrillist, Now This, The Dodo, and Seeker. I don't use any of those companies. I'm not familiar with I know Thrillist from back in the day. We used to do ads there 10 years ago.
Yeah.
My thesis is, like a lot of these companies, media was completely overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to figure out homes for these businesses. So Pop Sugar had raised a bunch of money. And here's the thing. When Group 9 has their made up valuation.
Yep.
Then they buy a company that has their made-up valuation.
Was this another stock thing?
All stock. Just make it up. If you're all stock, you don't have there's no impetus to actually assign a real valuation, because the only time valuations matter is when someone's exchanging dollars.
Money.
It's a shame that there's no policing of that.
Yeah, but what does it matter? Like, because if people are still getting fooled by this, like, that's your fault.
Yeah.
But you don't think your average, I mean, once again, like, think of who... Your knowledge in this space, your average person that, let's just say, this acquisition happens and then Group 9 goes public on the heels of this thing, it's like you are getting tricked.
I don't think you can know.
Yeah, you're right. And digital media content companies have gone through the same thing that all the direct-to-consumer companies are going to go through and are going through currently, is if you want to be a tech company, a true through-and-through tech company like Facebook, Google, and all the giants that actually are incredible companies, you need 90% gross margins.
Yeah.
You're not starting there. You're not a tech company.
Yeah.
That is a difference.
And by the way,
every time we spend more money on Facebook, it costs them zero. That's just dropping their dollar.
Just air. They're selling air.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's
a true tech company, because you leverage your platform so that incremental revenue just literally drops to the bottom line.
It's just messy.
Software seems fraudulent. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything got out of hand. And now it's all going to correct. All these things, this fake media valuation is the beginning of another problem. Postmates delaying their IPO, another issue. Peloton, I'll give you an example. Peloton, which is another topic we have here, is suing Echelon, which is a fitness maker, because they are pissed that they are doing a bike with subscription content for lessons.
Do you think they own that copyright?
Here's the thing. That is so that's not how the world works.
Yeah.
They are assuming their bike is special and their content is special. The delivery of that is for everyone else to...
But you can't trademark men's clothing in a subscription box.
No.
So can they?
That's what I'm saying. They're now trying to realize, they're like, oh shit, I'm shocked it took this long, but Echelon launched one. Home and Fitness launched the same version at $15 a month. There's no, unless Peloton is giving you an experience in their class that is a very different,
yeah,
there's no competitive advantage. And that's across a lot of these businesses, because what's happened is none of these people built real brands, even on the media side. Like, most of these media companies were driving traffic early days because Facebook clicks were so cheap for, yeah, publishers, yeah, to drive traffic, and they were arbing it by selling ads against the cheap traffic they were driving. Yeah. That is how the publishing business on the internet was built. Yeah. And now that is gone. Like, the moment Facebook changed their graph, social graph, most publishers went to shit. They were over. They're finished.
I also would argue that it kind of went from like magazines to like blogs, yeah, and now blogs are already dead.
Yeah.
And so this is a lot of like the, you know what I mean? Like, no one, who's going like, to...
I actually blame the investors as much as the companies, because the investors got confused that you just package media in a different way, you get a tech multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which well, is that's what pretty much what's happened in direct-to-consumer.
Direct-to-consumer
is like, hey, we're no different than we were selling to Macy's. We just sell online at the same margin. Most of your direct-to-consumer businesses have shitty margins.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if they're wholesale businesses, but they're getting tech multiples.
Yeah, and they don't have... Yeah, I mean, nothing is making sense. The market was down, you know, heavily on Tuesday. You just see it. Like, the companies that look like they should... They got kind of... smelled out,
yeah,
are happening, and like, it's gonna be really, really ugly.
Yeah, it's kind of, man,
you I'll think mental health is bad now, wait in 18 months
when no one has jobs.
Yeah,
I'm triggered. Yeah, you can't even quit your job because you can't get
you
one.
Can't get another one. You did. I would not be claiming mental health right now. Keep your job if you have one.
Oh gosh. Okay, well, guess what's gonna thrive in that market? Group chat.
Yes. Podcast.
Free content.
Ah, we are just going to run that. Gosh, run the fucking ad. Does anyone got money anymore? Okay. I want to also talk about this company, Rhino.
Yeah.
That it seems like a lot of people are really... Another thing that I think we've talked about this is just going to get completely changed is banking and all of these sort of made-up terms and overdraft charges and all this stuff. This company Rhino is now trying to eliminate security deposits,
yes,
on like apartments and stuff like that. What's this?
Man, I love this idea. I hope they don't get caught up and swept up in nonsense and raising money and trying to be bigger than what they should be. But they have come up with a concept where, so today they're claiming roughly $45 billion is locked up in rental deposits.
Okay.
That landlords put in escrow accounts, aren't earning interest, and causing renters havoc, right? Like, if you have to put first and last, and in some places 3 months deposit, most people can't afford to move out. In fact, my Uber driver the other day, she's like, I have to take this call. And she was arguing with a potential landlord because the landlord wanted 3 months deposit because of her credit. She's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
This company is saying, what are you really trying to protect? You're trying to protect damage to the place, them skipping out, whatever. So they've built pretty much like an insurance product where they're charging a few dollars a month to protect the landlord from any issue. Uh-huh. This is such a disruptive product, in, yeah, my opinion.
Big time.
And I went on the website. I actually even like just filled it out just to see what the flow was like. I picked a random address. They weren't available as a part of the service yet. It's predominantly in New York City. But it is such a challenge for renters today because of deposits.
Yeah.
If that could change the housing market, because it gives people the freedom to rent in places because where they can't afford to live today because people want 3 months of deposits in some of these places.
Yeah, nobody's got, yeah, jobs.
Yeah. And
you
everyone's quitting.
You might, you never know. You might have to quit your job because you're feeling a little
unstable. Rents are causing more mental anguish than work.
Causes us mental anguish.
Yeah. You should quit your place and live.
I should quit group chat and, yeah, just work on my mental, yeah, health.
I'm Taylor?
I'm joking. Taylor's coming.
Come on in, man.
Highly recommend it.
Okay, yeah, well.
No, just a larger point. I think the disruption in the way we rent in metropolitan cities is just so, it's just necessary. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we signing 12-month leases? Like, why is that? That's so arbitrary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why are you putting first month and last month apart? Like, why is it, like, this all needs to be disrupted? Mm-hmm. When you move into a city, you pay for the months you want to be there and you leave.
Yeah.
Why do landlords and real estate developers have this monopoly over consumers?
Yeah.
I think that's going to change.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a huge change there. Okay. Well, if we got any ads, if anyone's got any money left, why don't we go ahead and run them here? Thank you. Okay, next up. Let's just get into some general kind of pop culture, what everyone's talking about news. First thing is the Scotch company Glenlivet have decided to do a Scotch capsule. It's like a picture like a Tide Pod filled with Scotch, three different flavors, and they're running with it. Now, what I've seen is, number one, a lot of really, really pissed off people because Scotch is not a, like, shot drink. So this is something that, like...
Diehard Scotchers.
Diehard Scotchers are pissed off.
Yeah, shut up.
But, like, you know, maybe Patron should have done it. Maybe Ciroc. Maybe, yeah. You know, maybe there's a vodka Red Bull you can get and pop in your mouth. But whatever. So people are a little bit outraged. I don't know. I can't tell. Is this going to make it? Is this going to survive?
So they're only using this as, like, a marketing tactic for London Cocktail Week. And it's just for 1 week. Glenlivet's doing it in London.
I want to try one.
This capsule's made out of biodegradable, like, seaweed. So it just kind of disappears, I guess, when you pop it in.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it, too.
I kind of, like, if I was, on the way out, I'd be like, give me a Casamigos pop. Boom, done.
But what's the beef?
That'd be so fun.
Just Scotch drinkers that are purists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not a shot. It's a sipping.
The other Scotch beef is Tide Pods are obviously such an issue with children. That is this market.
Children. There's a problem with, like, adults.
Tide Pods?
Yes.
Adults were eating
Maybe in Wisconsin.
the whole joke thing is they were eating Tide Pods?
Yeah, but kids. Adults weren't eating Tide Pods.
Kids were seeing adults, not like grown.
That's Wisconsin. That's Wisconsin.
Yeah. It might be Wisconsin.
That's like a 30-year-old just, yeah, you know, what are you doing tonight? Yeah. Tide Pod and chill.
It's going to pop a couple Tide Pods. I think it's sick, yeah. And I would love to have it in all flavors.
Yes.
But I also do think that they're kind of trolling a little. Like, I think they're like, oh, wouldn't this be ridiculous and set the internet on fire?
Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see it.
It's working. It's everywhere.
The video is nice.
You just watched it?
Nice. Glenlivet puts out nice content.
Okay. All right. Last but not least, great, great, great news for anyone, for a lot of people, but especially for anyone who's maybe...
You're a little creep.
On the gram.
Yeah.
And just doing a little bit of creeping. And that could be like big creeping, like, yo, I got a side piece. I'm trying to show her some love with a couple likes.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just, you know, you're a little bit of a perv and you like to follow bikini models and give them some likes. You know, shoot your shot every now and then. Instagram has decided to finally get rid of that stupid little feature where you can see the activity of the people that you're following.
Yes.
So you could click like the little heart or whatever and it would say, Dee Murthy liked this weird girl in a thong.
Yeah.
And Anand Murthy commented, MAGA for life on this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
Ben Shapiro's Instagram. Yeah.
And because I really don't feel like, I think the feature was set up to increase engagement and new discovery and all that stuff. Seems more like it just probably got a lot of people busted for cheating.
Yeah.
But it's gone.
And celebrities must love it.
And
that it's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know how accurate this information is, but the head of product at Instagram said, nobody even knew that it existed, or most people didn't know. I'll be honest. I, as an avid Instagram user, never checked it ever. Like,
I never checked it. You're a real addict if you check that.
Yeah, I don't really care what other people are doing. I'm so self-absorbed. I'm more concerned about my likes, my comments.
Yeah, I agree. Like, how bored are you? How much more of a fix do you need than to see who the people you follow, what they're doing?
Yeah, who cares?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. What's that, a photo of a beach? Let me go check that out. I didn't know you liked beaches. That's so cool, man. What the fuck? No wonder you have mental health issues, you idiot. Go get a job.
And go quit.
Go quit your job and go like somebody else's pic of their job. Anyway, so that's good. Good news for everyone out there doing a little creeping or anyone who just doesn't want to be put on blast.
Yeah.
Good shit. We did it, guys.
Great.
Catch us at our events. We're event guys now.
Yeah, big event guys.
You know what I mean? October 12th, Young and Reckless live event. And then October 15th, group chat live event. Group chat will be at both.
Yes.
But man,
RSVPs
are
flying in.
Yeah, we're going to see. I wonder what our RSVP list is at.
It's beyond capacity right
great.
Now.
Keep them coming. But we know, you know, RSVPs don't usually, they don't all come.
Yeah.
So squeeze in if you still can. To RSVP, you just go to live@group-chat.com. We'll see you there. Hit us up on Instagram, @groupchatpod. Let us know if you got a job, plan on quitting your job, what your mental health level is.
I only need positive mental health people at our live events.
Or maybe if you just know a couple pussies you want to tell us about.
We'll call them out on Friday and call them a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's anyone that wants to call out for being a pussy on Friday's pod, tag them below. Okay, guys, thank you. Have a good week.